I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! For more than 15 years, CJSF 90.1 FM has been bringing Democracy Now! To the greater Vancouver area every weekday at 11 a.m. New York, this is Democracy Now!
And let's deliver.
End fossil fuels, save our planet and our future. That was the message of a 12-year-old indigenous climate activist from India who disrupted the proceedings at the UN Climate Summit in Dubai, where outrage is growing after a call to phase out fossil fuels is dropped from a draft of the proposed climate deal. We'll go to Dubai for the latest, then to Texas, where the state Supreme Court's ruled against a woman who had to flee to another state to have an emergency abortion. This comes as Kentucky's abortion ban is also being challenged.
In America, every 8 hours, a woman dies from pregnancy complications. And evidence is correlating abortion bans as a key factor driving increasing maternal and infant death rates.
But first to Israel, as relatives of hostages held in Gaza urge Israeli lawmakers to use diplomacy, not war, to free their loved ones. We'll speak with an Israeli peace activist whose 84-year-old mother was released by Hamas in late November. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Israeli troops backed by tanks and heavy artillery have stormed the besieged Kamal Adwan Hospital in northern Gaza Strip, where 3,000 displaced people are sheltering from Israel's unrelenting assault. Al Jazeera reports medical staff inside the hospital are among those shot and killed, as were two mothers killed Monday when Israel's military bombarded the hospital's maternity ward. The hospital's remaining patients include a dozen children in an intensive care unit and six newborns in incubators. Palestinian health officials say Israeli soldiers were rounding up men in the hospital courtyard, stripping them, blindfolding them, and taking them away for interrogation. A human rights Watch official said such treatment, quote, amounts to a war crime, unquote. The assault on the Kamal Adwan Hospital comes as Israel's military continued to bombard the southern Gaza Strip, including Rafah, on the Egyptian side, where thousands of Palestinians expelled from northern Gaza face dire shortages of food, water, medicine, fuel, and shelter. This is Fatima Suleiman Al-Maliha, who was displaced along with her family from northern Gaza.
There is no food or drink. The house is destroyed. There is nothing. There is no money. Please stop the war on us, for God's sake. We are innocent people. We have nothing. We own nothing. We are unarmed people, for God's sake. Look at us, Muslims, foreigners, the U.S. itself. Stop the war, for God's sake. We are destroyed. Where would we go? You moved us from the north to Rafah. We don't know where to go. We don't sleep. By God, we don't sleep. We are depressed. We are scared, dead scared about our sons and children. We have children with disabilities, paralyzed ones. Where would we go?
Palestinians and their supporters around the world joined a global strike Monday demanding an immediate ceasefire in Gaza. The action, which saw businesses closed and other activities suspended for the day, came in response to the United States' veto of a UN Security Council resolution calling for an urgent ceasefire in Gaza. In Washington, D.C., over a dozen Jewish elders chained themselves to the fence in front of the White House, urging President Biden to end his opposition to a ceasefire. The 18 women who participated in the act of civil disobedience read the names of Palestinians killed by Israeli forces since Hamas's October 7th attack. They also chanted, Biden, Biden, pick a side, ceasefire, not genocide. also in Capitol Hill. Over 100 protesters occupied the Senate atrium Monday, urging lawmakers and the Biden administration to cease all military aid to Israel and instead divest funds for affordable housing, health care, and other needs. Many protesters wore black shirts with the words, "Invest in life." Dozens were arrested. The Harvard Corporation, Harvard University's highest governing body, has rejected calls to fire President Claudine Gay following a contentious congressional hearing on anti-Semitism and a broader effort to restrict pro-Palestinian speech on college campuses. That's according to the Harvard Crimson, which reports the decision came after more than 700 faculty members signed an open letter calling on the Harvard Corporation to, quote, defend the independence of the university and to resist political pressures that are at odds with Harvard's commitment to academic freedom, including calls for the removal of President Claudine Gay, unquote. The letter continues, quote, the critical work of defending a culture of free inquiry in our diverse community cannot proceed if we let its shape be dictated by outside forces, unquote. Claudine Gay also won the backing of Harvard's Alumni Association and more than 70 black faculty members who called attacks on her specious and politically motivated. Gay was inaugurated in October as the first African-American and second woman to lead Harvard University. She's the daughter of Haitian immigrants. Efforts to unseat her came as University of Pennsylvania President Elizabeth McGill resigned her position following intense Republican-led backlash and a Capitol Hill grilling by far-right Republican Congressmember Elise Stefanik. Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky is in Washington, D.C. today, hoping to break a Republican-led deadlock over U.S. military aid. On Monday, Zelensky said any further delay of U.S. support for Ukraine's military will play into the hands of Russian President Vladimir Putin. Zelensky's visit comes as Ukrainian military leaders admit their months-long counteroffensive aimed at reclaiming territory occupied by Russia has largely failed. The White House has asked Congress to approve more than $61 billion in additional aid to Ukraine, part of a larger $110 billion package that also includes arms for Taiwan and Israel and money to further militarize the U.S.-Mexico border. But Senate Republicans have rejected the aid package, calling for even greater restrictions on immigration. This comes as The Guardian reports allies of Hungary's far-right Prime Minister Viktor Orban are holding a closed-door meeting with Republicans in Washington to push for an end to U.S. military support for Ukraine in a two-day event hosted by the Heritage Foundation think tank. In Russia, supporters of Alexei Navalny say the jailed opposition leader is missing. The Kremlin critic has been locked in a penal colony since last year, sentenced to more than three decades on what he says are trumped-up charges of fraud and extremism. Those charges came after Navalny narrowly survived an assassination attempt in 2020 when he was poisoned with the nerve agent Novichok. On Monday, Navalny's spokesperson said she feared for his life.
The main thing for us is to find him as soon as possible, because right now he is completely alone and he is literally in the hands of people who once tried to kill him. So we don't know what they will do again.
A secret memorandum issued by India's government last April ordered diplomatic staff in North America to launch a sophisticated crackdown scheme against Sikh diaspora organizations in Western countries. That's according to The Intercept, which reveals the memo lists several Sikh dissidents under investigation by India's intelligence agencies, including the Canadian citizen Hardeep Singh Nijjar, who was murdered in Vancouver in June in what Canada's government said was an assassination arranged by India's government. The memo said, quote, concrete measures shall be adopted to hold the suspects accountable, unquote. Prime Minister Narendra Modi has long been accused of targeting Sikh leaders at home and abroad. In Dubai, frustration is mounting as a draft agreement for the UN's COP28 climate summit so far omits the phasing out of fossil fuels, drawing widespread criticism from climate activists who've denounced the draft text as a death warrant for the planet. The document released Monday instead calls for reducing both consumption and production of fossil fuels. Environmentalist, former U.S. Vice President Al Gore, said on social media, quote, COP28 is now on the verge of completion. complete failure, unquote. Meanwhile, a peaceful action broke out Monday as several activists gathered outside a meeting room in Dubai's Expo City, where COP28 President Sultan Al-Jaber was expected to hold a news conference. Protesters held hands and formed a line demanding a fossil fuel phase out. This is Emma Beretta, climate activist from the United States.
If we don't get a phase out in the text at this COP, then there's a very high chance that we are going to exceed 1.5 degrees of warming, which will ensure a completely unlivable future for youth like me, for marginalized people, for indigenous people, for people of color, and for everyone.
We'll go to Dubai later in the broadcast. In California, a group of children has filed a federal lawsuit charging the Environmental Protection Agency and its administrator with failing to regulate life-threatening greenhouse gases, despite knowing the harm it causes the children's health and welfare. It's the latest in a series of youth-led climate lawsuits brought by the nonprofit law firm Our Children's Trust. 14-year-old plaintiff Avro S. said in a statement, quote, "We're experiencing what no one should have to experience. We're facing constitutional negligence. We're challenging the EPA's failure to protect us. The air we breathe has become a casualty of their opposition," unquote. In August, a court in Montana ruled in favor of a similar lawsuit brought by young people who'd sued Montana's government for violating their constitutional rights as it pushed policies that encourage the use of fossil fuels. The prosecutor behind Donald Trump's federal election interference case has asked the U.S. Supreme Court to clarify whether the former president has immunity from prosecution. Special counsel Jack Smith made the request for an expedited answer from the Supreme Court Monday in a bid to stave off any delays ahead of Trump's trial scheduled for March 4th. Trump's accused of leading efforts to overturn the 2020 election and inciting the insurrection at the U.S. Capitol January 6, 2021. Trump has claimed the Constitution accords him absolute immunity from prosecution. Over the weekend, Donald Trump doubled down on his claims that he would not be a dictator if he becomes president again, quote, other than day one, he said. Trump was speaking at the New York Young Republican Club's annual gala on Wall Street.
You know why I wanted to be a dictator? Because I want a wall, right? I want a wall, and I want to drill, drill, drill.
In Washington, D.C., a federal jury will decide how much ex-President Trump's disgraced former attorney Rudy Giuliani will pay after a judge found him liable for defaming two Georgia election workers whom Giuliani falsely accused of ballot tampering after the 2020 election. As the trial got underway Monday, Giuliani's lawyers argued the millions of dollars in damages sought by the workers, Ruby Freeman and her daughter Shay Moss, would amount to the, quote, civil equivalent of the death penalty, and would, quote, end Mr. Giuliani, unquote. And in Texas, Kate Cox, a woman seeking to terminate her 20-week pregnancy, has fled the state to obtain emergency abortion care after the Texas Supreme Court blocked a ruling that would have allowed her to get the procedure. Cox sought an abortion in Texas after learning the fetus has a lethal abnormality that, if carried to term, could make it impossible for her to have more children. This is Molly Duane, an attorney with the Center for Reproductive Rights.
We are talking about a very real woman and a family who's not only grieving the loss of a child, but is dealing with serious health conditions that exacerbated by the pregnancy that she is, you know, challenged with every single day. And for the attorney general to basically say, no, I know better than your doctors, and I get to veto the health care that everyone else says you need, is really a stunning thing to see.
We'll have more on this story later in the broadcast. We'll go to Kentucky and to Texas. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. The United Nations General Assembly is voting today on a resolution calling for a humanitarian ceasefire in Gaza and the immediate release of all hostages. The vote comes 4 days after the United States vetoed a UN Security Council resolution calling for a ceasefire to halt Israel's bombardment of Gaza, which has killed over 18,000 Palestinians. Israel says Hamas and other groups in Gaza are still holding 138 hostages. During the 7-day truce in late November, Hamas released 105 hostages in exchange for 240 Palestinian women and children who were held in Israeli prisons. On Monday, relatives of some of the remaining Israeli hostages met with Israeli lawmakers at the Knesset. The Times of Israel reports the families, quote, called for the government to prioritize seeking an agreement for their release through diplomatic channels rather than pressing on with the military offensive in Gaza against Hamas, unquote. Family members are planning to hold a protest outside the Knesset today under the slogan, "The hostages have no time." We're joined right now by Netta Haman Mina. Her 84-year-old mother, Ditsa Haman, was held hostage in Gaza and freed on November 28th. She'd been kidnapped on October 7th from her home on the kibbutz near Oz, near the border with Gaza by Hamas. Netta Haman is joining us from Haifa. She's a member of the Israeli chapter of Women Wage Peace. Netta, welcome to Democracy Now! I'm so sorry under these circumstances. Can you talk about what you're demanding?
We are demanding to release all the hostages. We are demanding from the Israeli government to put a deal on the table. Do not wait to offer a deal. We need the Israeli government to put a deal that will be a painful price. We will need to release a lot of Palestinian prisoners. We will need to do a lot of days of stop the fire stop. But the people are that was taken in the 7th of October. The price is for them, and they deserve this price because the country was left them behind. It's been 67 days, I think, since the 7th in October, and they're still there. Yesterday, Amiram Cooper from Kibbutz Nir Oz was his 85th birthday. 85 years old man that they're keeping hostage in Gaza. Without medication, without enough food, who can survive this?
There's been some discussion of Israel flooding the tunnels with salt water. Can you respond to this and what was said to Israeli lawmakers?
Part of our people are in these tunnels. If you flood it with water, what will happen to the hostages? We know part of them is in the tunnels, are in the tunnels.
Can you talk about the day that your mother was released? This was during the truce, during the temporary ceasefire, when more than 100 Hamas released more than 100 hostages. Where were you? How was your mother, Ditsa Haman?
It was very exciting. We wait for this for 53 days. She was hostage 53 days, and we wait for her to be in the list every day. Every day there was a list who will be released the day after, and we wait. And she came back. We were very happy. She came back, and she's okay. But there is a lot of people are still there, and this is what important to bring them back home immediately because they have no time. The bombing on Gaza can hurt them. My mother wasn't in the tunnel. Every bomb that fell on Gaza can hurt her. Hurt the hostages. We must bring them home now. There is no time.
And can you talk more about how she was treated by Hamas, who she was held with, and also who your mom, 84 years old, Ditsa is, and talk about her role in the kibbutz near Oz?
I can't The story of 53 days, it's her story, and I can't tell her condition, and because it can be a danger for the people who left behind. She was 84 years old, that they live her all her adult life in the kibbutz, near the border in with Gaza. She built the kibbutz. She was from the founders of the kibbutz. She was a very she was a social worker for a long time. She worked until age of 80.
And Netta, if you can talk about your organization, Women Wage Peace, an organization that the slain activist Vivian Silver was also a part of, who was killed on one of the kibbutzes. They thought she was being held hostage, but ultimately, I guess they found DNA of her on the kibbutz.
Women Wage Peace is a movement, Israeli movement, of people from all of the rainbow, political rainbow. We are not and we ask for since Tzuk Eitan, since 2014, to make an agreement with the Palestinians. We don't tell what kind of agreement, but we are believe that there is a possibility to talk with the Palestinians and to make an agreement that will bring us a peaceful life. We have a sisterhood movement, a Palestinian sisterhood movement that they call us themselves Women of the Sun. There are people, women from the West Bank and from Gaza as well. And we all believe that we can live here in peace.
In your opinion piece for Haaretz back in October, you wrote, "I'm furious at the Israeli government and the accursed members of the government who, because of them, the army was patrolling in the West Bank village of Hawara over the Sukkot holiday instead of guarding and protecting my mother. I'm furious at this government that has for almost a year been doing everything they can to escalate the situation in the Gaza border area. This colossal failure, this chaos is on their shoulders, is their fault, as is the fact that even now, 4 days later, a government representative has still not visited most of the families of the hostages." That was in October. If you can talk about what is happening now with the Israeli government, how they're communicating with you. You gave a speech yesterday. Explain where you gave it and what your message was, Nita.
The Israeli government contacted all the families and all the hostage families has contact with the government and with the army, but it took too long. Part of the families, it took almost 2 weeks until someone called them. Yesterday, we were Women Wage Peace were lighting Hanukkah candles in the hostages square in the Tel Aviv Museum. And we call for a release all the hostages and start a peace process after.
What would that peace process look like?
I don't know. I know that the Hamas must gone. They can't control Gaza, but Israel can't control Gaza as well. It will be, I think it will need an international involvement to establish something else in Gaza that maybe the Palestinian, I don't know how to tell
authority.
It.
The Palestinian authority
Will take, yes, the Palestinian authority will take Gaza.
to establish something else to replace the Hamas control in Gaza.
Your final thoughts.
Maybe
your final thoughts on President Biden on the United States vetoing the UN Security Council resolution calling for a ceasefire.
I think it must be ceasefire for that we can release all the hostages. And then Israel has the right to protect herself. And what happened in the 7th of October came out from Gaza. But I don't think we can destroy Gaza or erase Gaza. There are also innocent people in Gaza, not all of them from the Hamas.
Well, Netta Heyman Mina, I want to thank you for being with us. Her 84-year-old mother, Ditza Heyman, was kidnapped by Hamas from her home on the kibbutz near Oz, near the Gaza border, was released November 28th. Netta is a member of the Israeli chapter of Women Wage Peace. Coming up, outrage is growing in Dubai after a call to phase out fossil fuels is dropped from the draft of the proposed climate deal at the UN climate summit. We'll be in Dubai. Stay with us.
I think I loved you.
From the Sea to the Shore by Delaney Bailey. This is the Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. We go now to Dubai, where the UN Climate Summit, COP28, has entered its final hours. On Monday, negotiators released a draft agreement that omits a call to phase out fossil fuels, though it mentions fossil fuels for the first time. Climate activists and leaders from many small island nations have denounced the draft text as a death warrant for the planet. The document, released Monday, instead calls for reducing both consumption and production of fossil fuels. Former U.S. Vice President Al Gore said on social media, COP28 is now on the verge of complete failure. On Monday, a 12-year-old climate activist from India disrupted the high-level proceedings by storming the stage.
And let's deliver.
The 12-year-old activist, Lissapriya Kangujam, was holding up a sign that read, End fossil fuels, save our planet and our future. She spoke after the action.
Was in COP25 in Madrid, Spain, when I was around 7 years old, and it has been 5 years from then. And there has been no concrete action from our world leaders, and our world leaders keep on firing our planet, keep on destroying our planet and our future. You see, asking clean air to breathe, clean water to drink, and clean planet to live is all our basic rights, and asking those basic rights is completely unnecessary, you know? We must be having those basic rights right now, and we are not having that at all. So how is that fair? And raising my voice in the plenary session and taking my badge just like that, how is that fair?
We're joined now by two guests at COP28 in Dubai. Tasnim Esap is Executive Director of Climate Action Network International, an expert on climate, energy, poverty, and social justice issues, the founding director of the Energy Democracy Initiative in South Africa. And we're joined by Mina Rahman, head of programs at Third World Network, also the president of Friends of the Earth Malaysia. We welcome you both to Democracy Now! Let's begin with Mina Rahman. Talk about this draft text.